began right here in this chamber 2 years ago when the legislature unanimously passed a resolution to develop an arts and culture plan for Ulster County. From that moment of collective support, we launched a thoughtful, inclusive process, beginning with a wide-reaching request for proposals, through interviews with potential consulting partners, and ultimately selecting the outstanding team from Lord Cultural Services. Since then, this work has been driven by deep listening, broad outreach across the county, and a belief that arts and culture are not simply nice to have, but essential. Essential to community identity, to education, to wellness, and to economic growth. This final plan is ambitious, but it's also achievable, thanks to the hundreds of people who gave their time, ideas, and energy to shape it. It offers a strong, practical roadmap to support individual artists, creative organizations and businesses, our city, towns, and villages, and Ulster County's thriving cultural economy. I want to take a moment to thank the project management team, the project advisory committee, the task force members, and everyone who participated in town halls, interviews, and surveys. Thank you to County Executive Jen Metzger and her team for their belief in this project, and to all of you, our legislature, for making this possible. And now I'm proud to grant privilege of the floor to the team of Lord Cultural Services and Aaron King from John Stover and Associates to share the plan and the inspiring work that brought it to life. This evening's presentation is going to be via Zoom, so please just direct your attention to the screens.
Thank you so much. I hope you all can hear us. I will assume you can. I'm going to put my timer on because I know we have a strict time limit. And I want to say quickly, you have in front of you the printout of this, so this will be a high-level overview to respect your time, but we are so honored to be here. Next slide, please. Chair Criswell, we're going to keep moving. We saw you did your land acknowledgement. And quick agenda, we're going to just do some very quick introductions, give you an overview of the process, how we got to this exciting moment, linger on the economic impact, because that's so crucial to Ulster County's economy, and then reveal the vision and priorities, as well as some of the strategies to get there. Next slide, please. So the team, as you know, Peter, just acknowledged the wonderful Ulster County planning team. My name is Eve Morris-Ortega. I'm a director at LORD. I'm the project lead. You're going to hear briefly from my team members, Meg Yelspinal and Aaron King from JSA. Other folks who are on the team who informed this. And most of all, next slide, what this really was a collaboration with Ulster County, including the Project Advisory Committee, whose names you can see in front of you and on Participate Ulster, as well as the task force members. And so this is really a plan with, by, and for Ulster County. Lord Cultural Resources, we're the midwives. But this was something you all should be proud of. These are your constituents. Next slide, please. So what is an arts and cultural plan? It's really adjacent to other kinds of plans, and we're going to talk a bit about how this connects to those plans in Ulster County. But writ large, it enables you to prioritize community needs around arts and culture and deploy arts and culture to serve your constituents. And it's going to leverage the incredible network of arts attractions and venues you have, nurture your future, support culture as an engine for the creative economy. You will see how deeply impactful it is to your economy. And position culture as an integral part of the county's overall responsibilities. As the chair said, it's not a nice to have. It has real return on investment. Next slide. And this is from Americans for the Arts, this wheel that in your packet, there's a website if you care to click. Each of those slices of colored pie, so to speak, takes you to fact sheets with quantitative and qualitative data that show the many ways arts and culture, yes, it brings beauty and meaning, but it also has really concrete benefits in all kinds of sectors, health, education, talent development, retention, tourism, economic vitality. Over $1 trillion nationally is contributed to the U.S. economy. We'll get deeper into that for Ulster County, but so much benefits that will help even people who don't necessarily think of themselves as arts folks. Next slide. And just a few concrete impacts. So we were honored to also work with Kingston, where you are now, on the Kingston Arts and Culture Plan. And that was one of the key reasons that Center for Photography Woodstock moved to Kingston, to a 40,000 square foot home, which has now attracted over $1.5 million in state funding. That plan yielded a new municipal public arts policy, and it's a real roadmap for the Arts and Cultural Affairs Department. In Rockford, Illinois, again, has unlocked all kinds of new funding, both for public art from City Council, but the Hard Rock Casino now gives $250,000 annually towards arts and culture. And the plan has really galvanized support, and again, funding, for one of the goals, which was space. They're converting a dormant armory to a cultural center. And then in Charlotte, North Carolina, our plan led to the largest historic vote ever for arts and culture, $21 million between city and county. So we say often that the process is as valuable as the product, because we hope that this educates all in the county about just how important arts and culture is as an economic driver, for wellness, for community cohesion, all kinds of benefits, and, you know, create support among your constituents who have really articulated that this is important to them. Next slide. And we look for other plans that are surfacing arts and culture as an important driver. So just to highlight one, Ulster 2040, building a people-centered economy. Makers and creators was one of the key areas for growth. And this plan really builds on that, supports that. And that pulls from, you know, these previous reports, like the industry targeting analysis. We are also, you know, the New York State Education Department, Blue Ribbon Commission, that supports arts education as the deeper area for what makes a qualified graduate. Next slide, please. And your Shokan Rail Trail Project and others provide connections for how this can increase the identity of Ulster County. So, and then there are projects underway like iPark 87 and Metro Building that will give wind at the sails for this plan. So we're connecting, and the libraries, like all these planning efforts have touch points to the results of this plan and can strengthen each other. Next slide. And I'm going to turn it to McDeal to talk about the process.
Yeah, and we did this process for about a year, divided it into three phases, looking for the first phase really at the needs assessment of the county, so understanding what's going on in the county and doing some background research. The second phase was really looking at, was dedicated to public engagement, where we met the county constituents, artists, arts organizations, creative businesses, and the public in general, really, that happened through the summer of last year. And at the same time, John Stover and Associates, we're doing the economic impact analysis and asset inventory, and all that data was compiled and synthesized, analyzed, and distilled into the State of Culture Report, which then served as the basis of for the implementation part, which is the phase three, and ready on the final plan. We did a robust process for public engagement to make sure that we were hearing from as many people throughout the county as possible. And we had several methods to accomplish this, to really understand from people themselves what are their needs, what are the opportunities and challenges that they are encountering in their work. And altogether, we had great participation through, you know, town halls, stakeholder interviews, sector workshops, different community conversations, site visits. And overall, we had almost 1,400 community touch points that informed this plan and the work on taken on by the task force in their priority setting and the roadmap for this plan. In addition to that, we also looked deeply at what's happening outside Ulster County and looked into some comparable counties where we research elements, including, you know, the demographics, data, what cultural plans or reports and initiatives they have done and developed, their funding mechanisms, the governance for arts and cultures, the arts and culture structure, and really looking into what we found out were key initiatives or touch points that we needed to address, which were sort of communication, transportation, workforce development, and advocacy giving some of the examples for that. And all that information, which is phase one and two, the research on the needs assessment and the public engagement and all we heard, really came and was put together in this comprehensive State of Culture report that really looks into the ecosystem of the county and highlights the strengths, opportunities, and challenges. And it brings together all that insight that were then the base of this final plan.
Okay, thank you, Magdiel. So what were some of those findings? Again, these are much more detailed than we can go into in this short time. But writ large, one of the biggest strengths we found is just how much talent you have and all that natural beauty. And those really come together because historically, artists have been attracted to that beautiful nature. So there's a huge tradition of connecting your beautiful nature with your incredible culture. And we're so proud that this plan is really supporting this new position, Director of Arts and Culture and Parks and Open Spaces. That really builds on these strengths. There is collaboration happening. There is, you know, some really strong arts education and workforce development. And you already have arts as a really strong part of your economic development. But the weaknesses column is where there were some gaps. And so we, even with those strengths, there's more work to be done to connect different entities. You're a large county, as you know, right? And so even things like physically connecting sometimes is challenging. There's some chronic funding shortages, creative struggle with getting the word out. You have so much going on. How do you make sure that you're not, you know, that you're complementing and not competing? An absence of a public art policy. So there were some real gaps, but the flip side, those become opportunities. So really establishing some centralized coordination with this new position is really poised to help with, to enhance that marketing and branding through things like, you know, wayfinding, connecting to your open spaces, expanding collaborations and partnerships, securing additional funding. And that's not all, you know, contributed income. There's some real spaces, and you'll see this in the detail of the plan, where existing sources that people can connect with other departments in government, right, like Office of Employment and Training. There's already funds that are being allocated there to everybody's benefit towards arts and culture. Developing more affordable space, improving transportation, and so forth, a lot of detail there. And then we list the challenges to be mindful of those in building out the opportunities. Next slide, please. And I'll turn this to Aaron to talk about the economic impact.
Thanks, Eve. As Eve mentioned, I work for JSNA. We're an economic development consulting firm, and we specialize in economic and fiscal impact assessments, especially for arts and culture. This assessment, we looked into, you know, what the overall economic contribution is of arts and culture to the Ulster economy. Obviously, there are so many other social, cultural impacts of arts and culture to Ulster. But for our analysis, we really focused on two main kind of buckets in which you can think about how arts and culture has an economic impact. There's the operations of establishments that are directly related to the production and distribution and manufacturing of cultural goods and services. And then there's also the cultural tourism impact of people coming from outside the county, spending their money in other industries because of the arts and cultural amenities in the county. So as part of that, we developed a cultural asset inventory, looked at how many total individuals are employed in those cultural establishments in the county. And so those directly employ over 2,000 folks in the county. And then looked at that level of visitor spending that's attributable to those cultural amenities, which is about just under $200 million annually. And then as part of the impact analysis, we look at that direct impact and also the indirect and induced impacts, how that money is trickling through supply chains, how employees are spending their wages to really understand what that total economic impact is in the county. So in total, that results in a total impact of $814 million on an annual basis in terms of overall output, which contributes to just over 3,500 jobs annually. And as a proportion of the overall economy in the county, that's about just over 5% of overall economic impact attributable to arts and culture, over 6% of employment annually, and just under 5% of annual wages. And then in terms of fiscal impact, this overall activity also directly generates $16.4 million approximately in annual tax revenue. That's across property tax, sales tax, and hotel tax driven by that cultural tourism. So there's a lot more detail in the full report, obviously, but those are the top level findings. We also, as part of our work, developed a assessment on displacement and how rising commercial and residential costs in the county are directly impacting artists and other cultural businesses and the implications for those in the county, and that's in the appendix to the full report. So with that, I'll turn things back over to Eve.
Thank you so much. So the big reveal, next slide. So Imagine Ulster, the name of this plan, really is meant to be a sticky way to remember the words we heard over and over: investment, mobilization, advocacy, growth, infrastructure, networking, and education. And if you, next slide, those are in the vision, and they're also in the priority. So next slide, this is the reveal. We collapse those seven letters into the four priorities. Why four? Because as the chair said, we want this to be achievable. So we really worked hard with the task forces who you saw listed. In that phase three, it was very much the task forces building out these priorities into strategies that we heard through the process and then further into actions that also build upon things like what we heard in comparable communities. So these are the four priorities of the plan. And to give you a sense of the strategies, so investment in advocacy, you see the huge economic impact it has. You see the hundreds, you know, over 1,300 people who themselves represent many others. There are huge constituents who care about arts and culture. It is essential to the identity of Ulster County. So we need to leverage policy and financing. We have to develop a comprehensive financial resource strategy, targeted advocacy and education around this impact, right? And establishing an equity framework is really important. And then for that space piece, exploring models for creation of cultural districts and creative business zones. We know in Kingston, MCAD, the Midtown Kingston Arts District, has been tremendously successful. What lessons can we learn for the rest of the county? Next slide, please. Mobilization of networks. This we heard over and over, increasing collaboration, communication, and coordination. So the new position is a wonderful start. Also having an Ulster County Arts and Culture Advisory Commission. Again, there are models in the community already. Saugerties is just one, as Kingston as well. Having a hub to point to all the other great work happening and strengthening all those great partnerships, as well as creating new ones and developing shared resource programs to enhance sustainability. Again, we have models for that both in the state of culture and in the action plans. Next slide, please. Infrastructure growth, so important to develop that geographic connectivity given how large you are as a physical county. Creative spaces, when Aaron was talking about the assessment of displacement, no surprise, we heard about the affordability crisis a lot. And accessibility, so establishing material exchange programs, That can go a long way, and that's low-hanging fruit. Addressing cost barriers, that's something too, always balancing the need for income with making it accessible. Activating underutilized properties, that example from Rockford I mentioned, you know, adaptive reuse, there could be some really exciting, and we saw that happening, a lot of examples of churches being, you know, the local Saugerties is one example. Enhancing open spaces, parks, and trails, right? You have that gorgeous network. Enlisting artists to really enhance the identity of that through partnership support, signage, wayfinding, et cetera. And then those transportation solutions are so important. Next slide, please. And last but not least, education workforce development. You have a really strong basis for this. Ulster BOCES is doing an amazing job, but there is more work to be done to integrate local arts into Ulster County schools, to increase the creative internships and mentorship opportunities for youth. They are your future. That economic impact is so important, but it has to continue with new pipelines and ensuring arts accessibility through that transportation piece. Again, these interconnect, I'll show you in a minute. You'll see that in the action plans. And supporting arts educators and leadership professional development and exploration of accreditation programs. So last but not least, the action plans to give you a taste of how this gets built out for really specific roadmaps. There's an action plan section where you can see a time frame for each of these, order of magnitude cost with the key, who is leading, who else is involved, and then how these can complement and support each other, the different priorities of this plan. I think that might be our last slide, and we're almost at 20 minutes. What's the next slide? Yeah, so this is just one example, but if you want to see what an actual action plan detail looks like, but we encourage you, please, go and participate at Ulster, the whole plan is going to be available starting tomorrow, and we are so thankful for your support. We're so honored, and this is just the beginning. The plan is now yours, and we're going to launch this to the bigger public on April 22nd with these exciting watch parties that we hope you will promote. And really, even though we've worked so hard to get here, it's a beginning in a way, because we all this wonderful work has been done, all these relationships have been strengthened, and now it belongs to you to bring this all to life, and we're just so grateful to have been able to work on this with you, and thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, and I just want to again thank Lord Cultural Services and all the people who are involved in this process. It's an exciting time for arts and culture in Ulster County. Thank you very much. All right, at this time, we'll move into a period of public comment regarding resolutions appearing on this evening's meeting agenda or on matters currently before a legislative standing committee. I want to remind everybody that you have 2 minutes to speak. We encourage you to speak, and we ask everyone to keep their comments respectful. There will be a time to speak on issues not before the legislature toward the end of session. If you need a reference to the agenda, this evening's agenda, we have a QR code available. Clerk Fabella, do we have anybody signed up for public comment?
We do. We have 13 speakers signed up.
All righty.
The first speaker signed up is Ruben Bouchard.
Hey everybody. I'm Ruben Bouchard from Greenfield Park, and I'm here to say no to the dump in Worsing. And I want to talk about accountability. Landfills pose risks of water, air, and other environmental hazards. In 1986, when the state began enforcing stricter regulations and closing non-compliant landfills, Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, UCRA, was created to address alternative waste disposal methods. If that's a part of their mission, why are they now advocating for a landfill? Where's the accountability? Executive Director Mark Ryder, not an expert in waste management nor environmental stewardship, inherited a plan to implement an old-style landfill. Why push that through? If somebody gave me a recipe for a stale, poisonous cake, I would not bake it. I would get a better recipe. Bring in experts with other ideas, implementing new technology. What are the options? Where is the accountability? And I've heard current legislators say that they don't have authority over UCRA, even though past legislators created UCRA. I've heard that UCRA can go ahead with a landfill regardless of the outcome of a legislature vote. What? And now UCRA wants the authority to self-bond. Currently, the only power legislators have over UCRA is that they hold the purse strings. Where's the oversight? Where's the accountability? Maybe UCRA was created so no legislator could be blamed for a plan that would decimate a community. A vote to site the dump in Wawarsing might ensure it won't end up in their district's backyard, kicking the can to their neighbor in the most disadvantaged community. What about environmental justice? Where's the accountability? At some point, there will be a vote about the landfill. Instead of just voting along party lines, each legislator must summon the courage to vote on behalf of people in and outside of your district. Let's oppose a landfill in Wawarsing, not only because it should not be there, but because it should not be. Dump the dump so we can research better waste disposal options that are modern. Thanks.
Thank you.
Lauren Salve.
Hey everyone, my name is Lauren Salve and I live on Town Road out in Wawarsing. I am here tonight to urge each and every one of you to vote for Resolution 33. My home is more or less right in between the Milk Road and Brown Road sites. I, like my neighbors here, depend on a well for the water I drink every day, that I cook with, that I bathe in, and I am horrified at the prospect of putting a well to our a landfill 2 miles down the street that will poison the aquifer that we all depend on for clean water. I also feel the need to remind you all of a vote that your colleagues in Sullivan County Legislature took earlier this year. Remember, they work in Monticello. There is a dump right there in Monticello. On January 16th, their Public Works Committee unanimously passed a resolution condemning a proposed landfill site on the county line. A week later, on January 23rd, that resolution went to the full legislature. It passed 8-1. It passed along bipartisan lines. 4 Republicans and 4 Democrats passed that resolution. And I registered to vote back in 2004. I registered as a Democrat. I'm standing here in a room that is comprised majority of Democrats, and I'm kind of shocked that any of you need convincing on an issue that is an environmental one. Clean air, clean water, that's a human right. I've been to a few of these meetings now. I've noticed the chair always opens with a land acknowledgement. Today we also acknowledged Earth Day, which, to paraphrase, reminds us of our collective responsibility to care for the planet. So I challenge you, show me, show your constituents that this isn't just performative gesturing, that there are principles behind these acknowledgements. Do the right thing and pass this resolution.
Thank you.
Ted Ward Hall.
Thank you so much. Good evening, legislature, chair, and local community. My name is Edward Hall, and my wife and children and I, we moved to the area after we purchased land right outside of Wawarsing, right next to where this site is proposed, which is a pristine water area. My friends and I, hopefully my other friend who's here would be able to share, we're farmers. In that specific area, wells are actually going dry because of overuse. We're facing a lot of pressures, and being forced to rent in this economy. We had this parcel for a very long time that's just one turn away from this proposed site, and we will not be able to build a home next to a landfill. So this is not an option for us. I'll do anything in my power to stop this, and I think the people will as well, which you represent. So if the representatives fail to uphold the will, the people will be forced to uphold our will. And I say that as a descendant of indentured servants who escaped indentured servitude pre-Revolutionary War in Albany by ice skating across the Hudson. Our family helped make this country, and I don't see anybody that calls themselves a local or an American who would stand by this type of mismanagement of public resources and the entire future of the health of our local population. This needs to be addressed in a united fashion, and I pray and hope that the virtue of this county is reflected by your decision.
Thank you.
Poppy Cannon Reese.
Hi, I'm Poppy Buchanan Reese. And I really like the cultural program that you guys are involved in. I'm part of the watch party that we're going to do in Ellenville, so I just wanted to say that's a great use of the legislature to support that. When we looked for land here in the hope of inviting artists up from the city, creating sculpture gardens, and participating in the local arts culture, we had no idea we would be at risk of having a landfill across the street. Neighbors in Seneca Meadows cite incessant odor of landfill gas and decomposing garbage. None of the other sites in Ulster County got near the point of testing, and UCRA wants to start testing in June. Once that ball is rolling, we fear there is no stopping them from moving their landfill into our neighborhood. UCRA was created around 40 years ago because nobody wanted a landfill in their neighborhood, and you, the legislatures, did not want to be the bad guy and anger your constituents. We are angry. I have spent the last 4 years involved in the economic development of the town of Warsing, and I feel that UCRA thought it was a place where no one would care. There's community there. There are lots of residents working to make it better. New restaurants, a new bookstore, a record store, a market. Turning us into Seneca Meadows would destroy all we are working for. Cornerstone Engineering was recently acquired by Tetra Tech, a company that handles alternative waste disposal technology. So why are they siting this landfill? Who is UCRA accountable to? This landfill would ruin the rest of my life, make no mistake, and my neighbors feel the same way. Should we just sell now and give up? Please vote for this resolution, and please don't give UCRA the power to self-bond. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maurice DuBose.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maurice. 31 years old this year, lived in Woodridge most of my life, and my wife and I just got married about 4 years ago and purchased a property on Milk Road right before we got married with the hope of building in lieu of the skyrocketing housing prices. My parents shortly thereafter bought a piece of land just up the road, about two parcels. They have been staying there, and now we, to our dismay, discover the landfill debacle. So we're faced with the decision of what to do with the remainder of our lives in this area, which we were kind of hoping to pursue and build and live here and, you know, grow old. So I'm sure, as you're aware, the area is already developing a strong population of summer residents, and something like this just kind of pushes out anybody who wants to be here year-round. It makes it less attractive. You got concerns about the wells, and that area does not have a municipal supply. Everybody relies on a well. My cousin just bought property just up the road on the Sullivan County side, and, you know, that's going to be a blunder for him having to smell that. I have a friend who moved down here from the city. He lives down the road and just across. He's considering leaving. He's really disappointed with the landfill. He's having a baby in a couple months, and he has some major concerns about the safeties of living in that area, drinking that water, dealing with the scent, and property value. You know, we invest money in our homes, and last thing we want is to have to deal with those values falling. We spend a lot of time and a lot of money investing in that to make things comfortable for ourselves and keep it nice for our neighbors so that everybody's happy to see what they're looking at. I'm just here to support the opposition of the landfill and ask for more support from all of you and the investment in the community's future of the long-term residents. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Pamela Williams.
Hi, I'm Pamela Williams. I'm a new resident from the Boogie Down Bronx. I moved here in October, and much to my dismay to hear of a landfill through our dear Rabbi Hecht and my dear friend in the sisterhood, Poppy Cannon Reese. I just appreciate my neighbors for coming out tonight. I don't appreciate knowing that a potential landfill was even a thought. I came here to retire. As an educator, I came here, my husband and I, we bought this house. We live on Synagogue Road. My home has so much rich history, named after Synagogue Road was named after my home because it was a synagogue. And I came here to retire not knowing that my whole life would be affected by a landfill. I exist on well water, as it's mentioned, and I've been having issues with well water coming from the Bronx, from with city municipalities handling your water, your electricity, everything. And here, something would affect water. And I've been struggling and trying to manage the water system, the well water, since I've been here. Now, the problem that I have, again, is the environment. I'm a mental health advocate, and this would affect our mental health. It would affect our young people, our seniors. It would affect our whole existence to live and be our best. And I am against the landfill. No matter how much data, this is about common sense, being able to understand, being able to live in the present and the future, no matter how much data. We do need data to live by, but it is not enough to sustain us in real time. It's crucial to acknowledge the profound and long-term mental effects of this landfill and how it would affect our rural community. Coming from the city, there's so much support in the Bronx. However, in rural areas, there's less accessible support. There's no psychological, very little psychological mental health support in rural areas, and that is a huge issue. And this landfill would really lower the accessibility. It would lower the point of even having access to mental health. It would affect our mental health.
Thank you so much for your comments. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Robert Kenmore.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Robert Kenmore. I was an educator. I'm semi-retired. I moved up here from Long Island 7 years ago to retire. I love it up here. It's beautiful. I'm not sure if any of you have, or how many of you have visited the particular area that we're talking about. I live about a mile from where you guys are proposing a landfill. I'm trying to write a book. I'm very involved in the nature of the community. I'm not terribly social, so this is a little uncomfortable, but I do want to thank you all for at least considering alternatives to what you guys have set in motion. And like my neighbors, I'd encourage you and urge you to really consider alternatives to the people that this is going to affect very directly and very profoundly. I would probably have to move, and it's not something I'd really ever thought about or looked forward to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kenneth Cook.
Hello, everybody. My name is Kenneth Cook, or Taya Goles. I am a member of the Onondaga Nation from the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, or Iroquois. Just wanted to come here to say a few words tonight. Thank you, everybody, for your time, especially everybody over there. Thank you. I'm actually new in town, but I grew up in New York State, upstate. Didn't grow up too far from the landfill they have up there. I don't know if anybody's too familiar with it. It was a small project that was initially proposed, I believe, that has turned into a mountain of garbage and is quickly becoming an environmental catastrophe. I don't think this is anything we want twice to happen in New York State. There's a lot of things I could say here. It's really hard to stand here without a lot of pain and anger and how to control it in a way that comes through effectively. I see a land acknowledgement. This word is, you know, never makes me feel right. I would just like to say, I think I'm here to remind you all that you missed the point. How about a treaty acknowledgement, or all of the treaty acknowledgements of all the treaties and promises that were made to protect these lands and take care of them? We took care of them for 12,000 years. It's been less than 300. I can't drink the water. Our soils are gone. 2/3 of them. 15% of the water is potable. We hold 5%, and you guys want to destroy it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Shabazz Jackson.
Good evening. I'm from Clintondale. I've lived there for about 10 years, and they wanted to site a landfill down in our area, and we fought it. But I believe that you have to do more than a not in my backyard, like the NIMBY syndrome. So when I look at this resolution is actually in three parts. You know, the first part is opposing, but the second part is urging for exploration of an alternate location. I'm against that. I don't believe we need a landfill here in Ulster County. And the third part of it is advocating for a waste management solution. And we moved our business here, my wife and I, who's coming up next, we moved our business here to design and install zero waste systems. And we are having some success with that. So we have Hurley, which we are going to complete the first phase of a zero waste system there. And then we are looking at the RFP that the Resource Recovery Agency put out on April 11th now. You know, so it was just a few days ago. And we're looking at a response to that. So there's we are a zero waste community. Resolution 451 made us that, and it is a important resolution for us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The next speaker is Josephine Papagni.
Well, we kind of know. Yeah, I am known, yes. Hi, I'm Josephine, and I have come before the legislators so many times to work with you and to thank you and to cajole you. And I think what Shabazz said is something like, we as a community feel that nowhere should we be siting a landfill. We should be so far beyond that. We should be looking for ways that we can continue to minimize waste and reuse and recover. And it goes way back to producer responsibility laws. And I think this is the only legislature I know of. And we work with Orange, and we work with Putnam, and we work with Dutchess, the only one that has a zero-waste resolution. And I'm always really proud of that, and I tell other counties, like, you ought to follow that. Well, we need to live it. We need to not just have it be a resolution on the books. And in doing that, we need to approach things as, instead of a disposal community, we need to look at it as a recovery community. We're really all smart enough to figure this out. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Felicia Kashuk.
Good evening, Felicia Kutchick, 25-year full-time resident of Woodstock, New York. I support what Shabazz Jackson and Ms. Papagni say, and also the people who are against siting the landfill in Warsing or anywhere. And, you know, the thing about this is, zero waste now is happening now, and it's been happening for a number of years. And resolution should have said at first, we support zero waste. And in fact, the county gave lip service to that in the resolution that he mentioned, 451. But where's the money? Where's the implementation plan? And what happens with this, people working from the grassroots up and the tree roots have been using the system successfully. Tree roots like our apple district, a lot of waste produced that is putrescible, and it's being handled by Zero Waste, by Greenway Environmental, and also Vassar College, Cornell Institute of America, also by a number of other places here, most notably the Hudson Valley Garlic Festival, a big festival. But the problem is there has to be this stop looking backwards at landfills, at pyrolysis, putting tons of energy into melting a whole bunch of mixed garbage down, and then it has to go to a landfill. Landfills. Also, stop looking backwards at incineration. I don't care if you're generating electricity. You're still producing waste that has to go to a landfill and pollution, and you have to put energy into it to get a little bit out. And so Resolution 33 should be passed just to not have a landfill in Wawarsing, but stop looking at landfills everywhere. And also, zero waste must be considered. And we have to be sustainable, and Woodstock is supposed to be aiming towards that, and other towns as well. We're being limited. I just want to finish this one sentence. Because of a lack of signing of legislation that's sitting on Jen Metzger's desk now, and because of still looking back at these backward systems, zero waste is limited now because it's not available to everyone in the county, and it's not available at all of the festivals. You have to make that possible by implementation and funding. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is James Gordon.
Good evening. Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Gordon, the chairman of the Resource Recovery Agency, and I had a nice little speech, which I'll partly follow. But I want to say I pretty much agree with everything I've heard. I understand our neighbors in Wawarsing are upset, but you at the legislature can't be swayed by emotion. There's a process going on. You have to vote against Resolution 33 because you have to follow the process, the legal process that the Resource Recovery Agency and Ulster County are involved in. Remember, by studying possible landfill sites, UCRA is following the mandates of the Solid Waste Management Plan, which this body passed in 2020. Second, a county landfill was recommended again last year by a legislative committee this body appointed, which included legislators of both parties, the county comptroller, a deputy county executive, the chair of the County Association of Towns, and myself. And on August 1st, we delivered a comprehensive report with concise conclusions. The recommendations prioritized waste diversion. That's what we want to start with. But it also said, quote, we must site a local or regional landfill for residual waste. At this time in our history, there is always residual waste. There is no magic solution that makes everything disappear. So we need to plan ahead. Our recommendations prioritize waste diversion. But let me emphasize, a landfill would be the final step in a system that prioritizes avoidance, waste diversion, reuse, recycling, and composting. A landfill would be the final step for whatever we couldn't get rid of in any sensible way. And please understand, we have to consider the possibility of this now. It takes about a decade to site a landfill, even if we get there. I'm jumping around because people made so many good points, and I want to address them as much as possible, and see my 2 minutes are over. So let me just say, UCRA will be releasing and has released RFPs, Request for Proposal documents, that are calling to seek out the best alternative technology so we can see what else is out there. We're also doing another RFP, which will, among other things, consider further or different sites for a landfill in Ulster County. So are we definitely putting a landfill in Wawarsing? Of course not. We are very early in the process. The point is we are putting together a comprehensive system in a responsible way, following the guidance county elected leaders yourselves have put us up to. We're volunteers. We're doing what you asked us to do, and we're doing the best we can. So please,
Chair,
do not short circuit.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, let me just finish my last sentence,
yes.
Please.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's fine, Mr.
Stop,
sir.
Stop. Order, order. Legislators, legislators, order, please. Finish your
thank
sentence.
Thank you. Yeah, I will. And thank you for your comment.
Finish your sentence, sir.
Please don't short circuit
order.
The process by voting in favor of Resolution 33. Let us do the job you asked us to do. Thank you.
Thank
you very
you.
Much.
You're welcome. Just to be clear, there are many people who I allow to finish their conversations and their comments up here.
Always seems to
so,
be insiders. That's Eric's point.
Is there anybody else?
There's one last speaker signed up, and that's Rachel Gand.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Rachel Gans, and I've lived in Bloomington for over 25 years, and I don't have something prepared, which I usually do, but, you know, hearing everyone speak, and especially the man who I heard, you know, a couple months ago from the Onondaga Nation that says that, you know, we are breaking treaties, that is part of the constitution of this country, right? And all of the work and effort going into finding places to throw garbage when there is, you know, on the consent side, you know, 167, 169, we're buying the sheriff's department jet skis and boats, which will continue to pollute the river instead of working towards a zero waste option. I do see that there are some, you know, some work being done to fund some housing, which we know more people were just turned out on the street because DSS didn't fund. And I know that there is complicated, you know, there's some things going on with some people weren't eligible, and so then they didn't fund the housing. But people are getting turned away every day through this whole winter. It's been really cold. You know, they shut down the warming center. People have to bring all their stuff back and forth to DSS to try to find housing. And instead, all this money goes into – there's so many things on this consent that we're funding – militarization of this area instead of looking for solutions. And there's nothing here fighting against what is going on across our country as far as protecting you know, who we are, letting people, you know, live and walk around and work here. People
Ms.
are
Gans,
being
if you could wrap
up
your comments,
yes,
sure.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sorry, I was a little rambling this time.
Thank you. Is there anybody else here who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? Yes, please. And please state your name for the record when you get the microphone.
Good evening, legislators. My name is Chelsea Villalba. I live in the city of Kingston. I wasn't planning to speak, but I just want to express my opposition to the purchasing of ATVs and jet skis. Really, I just want to ask you all, do we know what the response times are of the Marines, the Navy, the Coast Guard, the National Guard in water emergencies? I think that we are further militarizing our police department at a time where I think we can all agree that citizens and people of all immigration statuses are in danger of further police militarization. And that is something that I think many folks here can agree that is going to be further, increase danger for each of us to continue to create a budget that allows for the police to have a full arsenal So I just ask, you know, do we know what the response times are for these military branches? And also just quickly wanted to thank the sponsors of resolution, the resolution in support of repealing the HALT Act. Thank you for listening to your constituents. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? Anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? And a third call. Anybody who would like to speak on an issue before the legislature this evening? Seeing none, I'm going to move us forward. Yes, there will, sir. We are now going to move into consent and non-consent agenda. Majority Leader, you should tell, is there anything moving in or out of consent or non-consent?
Yep, we've got Resolution 142, which is coming out of consent into non-consent.
Sir?
I agree.
Thank you. On the consent agenda.
On the consent agenda, we're short yes with one abstention, Legislator Uchitel on 129 for reason of volunteer board membership.
I believe we're short yes.
The resolutions are adopted 22-0 with the exception of Resolution 129, which is adopted 21-0 with one abstention, Legislator Uchitel.
All right, we're now going to move on to the non-consent agenda.
The first resolution in non-consent tonight is Resolution 33, opposing the establishment of a countywide landfill in Wawarsing, New York, and urging the exploration of alternative locations and waste management solutions.
Legislator Nolan.
In order to evaluate more fully whether there may be other alternatives, I'd like to refer this resolution back to the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee.
Is there a second for that? Legislator Green.
Yes, I'd like to second this because I have very serious concerns about the very expensive process that was done by Cornerstone put forward the two sites in Wawarsing. And I think we need perhaps a second opinion or a review before going ahead. I believe that cost like $140,000 for preliminary, and now a deeper study on those sites would be invasive and expensive and probably cost hundreds of thousands. So I want to be sure before we proceed that it makes sense and it's not putting good money after bad.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't get the purpose of this postponement. If you have concerns or about the price or the location, you should be supporting Resolution 33. We heard speaker after speaker. Does the majority party have no compassion at all? Speaker after speaker, I've heard this before, 2 years ago when you tried to site a landfill in Plattekill, right in Sheriff Figueroa's backyard. And now you're sticking it in Wawarsing. You know, these people are talking about selling their houses. You have no compassion for these people? Let's just vote and put an end to this facade and move forward in a different direction.
Legislator Green for a second time.
Yes, I absolutely do believe we can site a landfill and should site a landfill in Ulster County or perhaps in the region, but I disagree with the idea of the legislature setting a precedent that it won't be here, it won't be here, and then any other sites that are recommended, we have that precedent and we have to say it won't be there. I think we should go back and look at the work that was done before we proceed.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, you know, I've still yet to hear a legislator come forth over the last couple of years and offer up their district.
it's very easy for us. It just seems like we're dead set on putting it in the southern Republican part of the county. I honestly, talking to people and looking into this for years, I don't think our county, I think we have too much groundwater. I don't think we're going to find an acceptable spot for a landfill. I think we're going to have to pursue other technologies that are out there. And every day we waste arguing and trying to maneuver a landfill into the southern part of the county, we're wasting time on, and the clock is ticking because we don't have a lot of solutions. I also hear about all the things that are going to happen. I just heard up here all the things that are going to happen before there's a landfill. Then do all those things. Then reduce the waste stream. Talk about the tipping feet, real reuse, orbital sorters, expanding composting, glass crushing, mattress recycling, all things Laura Petit has talked about and knows about for years and was the number one choice of the committee put forth for the RA and then not chosen by the chair. This is a big sham. It's a big manipulation. We've been experiencing it for years. They keep telling us there's nothing. We're just checking into this. We know there's other conversations happening. We know there's other things happening, and that there's a group of people in control here that are dead set on trying to screw the southern part of the county. And I'm ready to vote tonight, put it out there that a lot of us are not happy with this, don't ever see this as a viable spot. And like I said, I don't think we're going to find one, really. And I think we're wasting a lot of time, but I'm ready to vote on this tonight and put this out publicly in support of the southern part of the county not being screwed.
Legislator Nolan.
The discussion in the Democratic caucus earlier this evening was whether or not we should consider a resolution that would include the entire county. So there was exactly the opposite of focusing on trying to single out the southern part of the county for a landfill. It was, do we want to do this site by site? And the questions were, do we have enough science yet to know that we can't do it anywhere in the county? There was not agreement about that within the caucus. So the reason for the referral is to go back and look and see if there's a better way to request that the UCRRA would look at this question than spend the large amounts of money on this study. We don't have control over the UCRRA, but we do have the ability to state a recommendation of how to proceed. And singling out yet another town in the county, and then perhaps proceeding town by town, doesn't seem like it's the most productive way. So you can try to paint this as we're not listening, but at least as I understood it, we were exactly listening and trying to create a more productive way forward. So I personally would support a resolution tonight, if we had it in front of us, for no effort to site a landfill anywhere in Ulster County. Not everybody is there yet because we haven't studied all of that in the same detail as were proposed for this town. So I appreciate very much all of the comments from people who have concerns on this, and especially the zero waste efforts that Ulster County is in fact pursuing.
Legislator Collins, followed by Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I don't believe there's any place in this county that's going to be appropriate for a landfill. I'm only torn in whether or not we need to study that first scientifically, or whether we can just look at the county and look at the topography of the county and look at what we have in the county and just say, no, it's not going to happen here. Part of that's why I think I support postponing it, but also, as Legislator Nolan proposed, support a resolution to say we're not going to put a landfill in Ulster County. Because if we go, we've done Plattekill, we're doing Worthing now, next town will come up, we'll do that one too. We'll go town by town and say no. Let's just say no for the county.
Legislator Hewitt, followed by Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you. I'm a lifelong environmentalist who believes that we need to solve our garbage crisis. And it seems that this is becoming a political issue of division. I think some of my colleagues really just want the freedom to let our garbage disappear and let it leave our county so we don't have to think about it. I think that we've heard great solutions tonight. We heard things that I agree with, that there's pristine water in those locations. We need alternative solutions. It's not a good location. There are people who are unwilling to sell their land, and we have to do something different. We need to focus on environmental justice. So we are making progress on the Reuse Innovation Center, the hub and spoke approach to make sure all of our transfer stations are involved in feeding that hub. diverting 14 primary things out of our waste stream, including bicycles, furniture, textiles. 51% of the waste stream is organic, so we need to remove those. And so we have a zero waste implementation plan that was almost finalized in 2019. We need a little bit more funding to finalize it, get it back on its feet, and create plans for every town to divert compost, to have restaurants be involved in compost and compostable products where we're not putting clamshells into the waste stream. So we have a lot of alternatives and solutions already. I think that with the zero waste implementation plan, we'll have more solutions like the $25,000 funding stream that we just created. We're figuring out how to use the Garlic Festival and companies like Greenway as examples of success. And so the $25,000 wasn't spent yet, but it's about to be. So we're on the precipice of success, and we shouldn't pass this resolution because it's not the way to stop this landfill. We need to stop our garbage flow into these landfills.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts for a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Legislator Nolan talked about a better way. A better way would be letting that 60-day extension for the resource recovery expire. Take a few key employees over there and take over the garbage business ourselves. We're more than capable of handling it like other counties are. We don't need to be threatened and bullied. You've seen the chairman who's up for appointment today come and berate us once again, the second time in the last 60 days he comes in here and berates all of us. Just unacceptable. That place has been nothing but trouble over the years. It's going to continue to be nothing but trouble. We should move on from that disaster, start over, and we can do it ourselves.
Thank you. On the referral back to committee. Oh, I'm sorry. Legislator Kitchen.
I witnessed the chairman of the RRA, who's getting reappointed, I guess, or they're trying to get reappointed tonight, sat over here in this chair and taunted me and laughed at me and tried to intimidate me till the sheriff had to come over there and speak with him. If that's the kind of leadership we got at the RRA, we got a problem. To sit here and act like a child and make threatening looks at me and laugh at me is ridiculous. These people have legitimate concern. They're homeowners, they're people, they're human beings. They've been coming here for the last few months. I've been listening to them. I hope my colleagues on the other side of the aisle have been listening. Because these people need portable water to drink. They're farmers. They're families. They came to this area. And, you know, also what I see going on here is Laura Petit, once again, has been pushed off to the side. She was probably one of the most qualified people to be on that board. She has tons of environmental background. And it's just sad to see what's going on here once again. And what I do really feel for the people that came all the way up here tonight from Awarsing, and I stand with you. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
Yeah, you know, we went through this with Plattekill when the same types of stories were coming to us. People were thinking about selling their house, moving, not building, living in a constant state of anxiety about what the future is going to hold for them. So when I hear some of my colleagues say, look, we don't agree with the landfill out there either, but let's just take this back to committee, talk about it some more, yada, yada. These people are in real pain. So if you really don't agree with the landfill going here, if you really are leaning towards pretty much being where I'm at, which is we're not going to be spotting a landfill, so we need to have our energy somewhere else, then give these individuals that have come here tonight a reprieve here. Give them some a feeling of safety that they haven't had and put something forth publicly in support. Let's not kick this down the road and do nothing. We know what's going to happen when it goes back to committee. We'll be back here in a month with nothing different. So if you really do believe, if I've heard two people say it, that I'd vote for no landfill at all, then just vote for this and support these our neighbors here that have come with real concerns. So I hope we do it. And it took us a while to finally acknowledge what was going on in Plattekill, and there was real reasons for concern. You know, when all the neighbors from Platico first came here, for the first 6 months they were coming here, I had my colleagues on the Democratic side telling me this was all a big sham made up by the Republicans just to get people out to public comment. No, it's real. This is real concern. The concern, this is political over here. The concern over there is real. So I hope a couple of people over on this side of the aisle join with this side of the aisle in support of our neighbors over here.
On the referral back to committee?
On the referral back to committee, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
A short no.
The referral is adopted 12 to 10. The next resolution on the agenda is Resolution 81, confirming appointment to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was still going to be a no on the former Supervisor Baden. I had a bunch of things I was going to say, but after listening to Chairman Gordon speak, I think I'm going to be a yes on Baden and save the rest for Gordon in the next resolution.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're a short yes.
We're a short yes. We're a short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22 to 0. The next resolution is Resolution 82, confirming reappointment to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll make this short. After seeing Chairman Gordon up here for a second time berate us, I'm going to make a motion to push this back to the Environment Committee so hopefully we can come up with another name that's suitable for all of us that we could he'll get some, he or she will get some support.
Could that be done as a vote of the body, or does the sponsor have to?
If you want to consent, you have to consent.
Right.
How does that work? Does the sponsor have to consent or do it?
It's the chair's appointment, so if he consents, it could be referred back, but only with consent.
Otherwise, it's an up or down vote?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. As a point of order, I was just going to point out that the Energy and Environment Committee provided the chair with a list of five names that were found suitable from the committee, and then these two choices were the chair's choice. So the chair already has three other names approved by the committee that he could select from if he so chooses.
Yeah, this is my appointment, and I'm going to stick by my appointment. So I'm going to call the question on the resolution.
I think we need some discussion on it, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind.
I've raised my hand.
I mean, it might be your pick, but you can't shut off the debate.
We can have discussion, sure.
Thank you.
Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, you know, I have witnessed on several occasions the person up here come in and, you know, behave in a way as if you would have thought he would have received a single vote. To come up here and almost as if he's a legislator or something. But look, the problems over at UCRA begin and end with the fact that we appoint people to be on this board that's supposed to be the bosses, and they don't understand that. We now have a director that speaks publicly about what he's going to accept in the next contract or what he's not going to accept. It's a job of the board. You know, time and time again, we get told when they don't want to hear from us that they're an independent body or people over at the RA don't want us interfacing with the board. We're told it's an independent body. And then at other times, I hear legislators basically telling us to postpone things because of things they want the board to do. Nothing makes sense over there. The RA's been out of control for many years. The board has never understood that they are the board of directors, that they're in charge. We now have two former deputies of the executive over there, one of which that is really seems like he's the the president of the RA, like he owns this place, when really he's supposed to work for the board, which is appointed by us. And then we have, you know, this crazy process where it's this pretend process. You know, we just appointed somebody a couple of months ago that barely gave us, that wasn't interviewed. Years ago, we always did an interview. It was more the choice of the body, even though technically the fine print says it's the point of the chair. Now, because a little blowback came about the process and lack thereof, recently we have this fake process where we choose a group of people. There was a matrix. I believe the person that got the top score, who many of us have been waiting to put onto this board, didn't get chosen again. It's just absolute nonsense. And I agree with the minority leader. I think it's time to do away with the setup we have. I think we ought to take it back in and take control of the ORA, because this is bogus. Every couple of months we have all these arguments because of the mess that is the ORA. And at the end of the day, like I said before, there's not enough real reuse. We don't have the best technology, orbital sorters, mattress recycling, glass crushing. We haven't expanded composting as much as we should. We haven't had an honest conversation about the tipping fee, which would really reduce the amount of garbage we're producing. And here we are with this guy coming in here, telling us off, acting completely inappropriate to a legislator. And at the end of the day, the most disappointing part is, as much of a tough guy that I just saw, he lets the director of the RA completely dominate the board. And the board is told what to do by three or four people over there, and it just doesn't work. We're not getting anywhere, and we're just going to put him back on there. And the chair doesn't want to admit he's wrong. He just saw what happened. He sees how his body feels. A member of his own caucus basically, in a roundabout way, just told you there is other options. Let's throw it back there. And in the moment, you can't just admit you were wrong and we don't have a real process, and that there is a person that we all wanted to see be appointed for the last year. You haven't done it. I don't know if it's because of backdoor conversations, the exec doesn't want it, if Mark's calling you and telling you he doesn't want it, but why you're putting the people on you're putting on, many of which have no real environmental experience, I don't get it. But here we are, and you're going to do what you're going to do, like you always do. So go ahead and put the wrong person on. But I'm a no.
Legislator Hewitt. Thank you. I just wanted to thank Chair Criswell for the robust process of interviewing almost 15 candidates. The Environmental, Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee each created 5 recommendations, and the 5 recommendations were exceptional, wonderful people, great skills and talent. And so each of us provided 5 names to Legislator Criswell. And Laura Petit was not the number one choice, contrary to what Legislator Maloney just said. None of the committee members made Laura Petit her number one choice, but everyone talked about how great of a candidate she will be on an expanding board as we expand the UCRA board. We also discovered new members for our Recycling Oversight Committee. So these questions and the relationships we developed are helping us build a more robust UCRA. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
Yes, a statement was made that we all wanted something. I'm not a part of that we. And I am very happy to let the vote of the body reflect whether the appointment that was put forth is right and correct.
Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's hard to believe that the Environment Committee did their due diligence, come up with the 5 top people, and Chairman Gordon rose to the top. It's just mind-boggling. I've had board members call me up that, you know, not friends of mine, and saying, you got to put somebody else on there. Can you talk to the chairman? You know, he's combative. Not only here, he's combative in meetings. He doesn't get along with the other board meetings. You know, it's definitely like something's in cahoots here. Like, you definitely want a landfill vote going on. That's why you're picking Mr. Gordon. He's definitely pro-landfill. Now it looks like the chairman of this body's in cahoots with the landfill. You know, we got to move on from that talk. There's got to be somebody better than Chairman Gordon to lead the resource recovery.
Legislator Kitchen.
What I witnessed tonight was very disturbing. You know, because of my support for this resolution opposing this landfill, This chairman sat there right next to these people and laughed and laughed and looked in my eye and made faces at me. That is a very immature individual that should have no power and control of anything at that level. And you're wrong for standing by your decision.
On the resolution.
Is this a referral vote?
No, we're not allowed to have a referral.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
We're short no.
The resolution is adopted 12 to 10. The next resolution is Resolution 85, approving the execution of a contract for $1,427,490.29 entered into by the County Solar Liberty Energy Systems, Inc., Departments of Planning and Public Works.
Legislator Maloney.
I'll be no. This was the multi-million dollar project that was meant for municipal and county buildings. Instead, we're giving it to a billion-dollar developer that's eventually going to build housing that will be a lottery for out-of-town residents and won't pay school taxes. So as we send a ton of kids to the Kingston School District at $20,000 to $50,000, we'll give the Kingston School District virtually no money to educate those children, the great equalizer. Then, like I said, we'll move a bunch of individuals in a couple of years from now from outside the county and destroy our tax base. Won't, if anything, will hurt the housing crisis. On top of it, the billion-dollar firm that got the bid, that achieved this deal by promising to do demo and give us a $2 million demolition of the old jail and do and give us much more money than they were going to for the property, none of which came true. We just kept giving them more and them putting in less, and at the end of the day, we end up with a project like this. And after we pay for all this solar that we'll own, have to get rid of as it ages out, upkeep, and all the rest, we give the millions of dollars in state tax credits right to the billion-dollar developer. So this is just a bad deal, in my opinion. It always has been. It always will be. And it's on the site where our 911 center should be going, the property that we owned, and where the other 911 center was. Logistically, it made perfect sense. It would have been much cheaper to build a 911 center there as well, but instead, we're doing this and enriching a billion-dollar developer that will only add to our housing crisis in the long run and our educational crisis.
On the resolution.
Short yes.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Maloney.
And we have one abstention, Legislator Green.
Thank you.
Apologies.
The resolution is adopted 20 to 1 with one abstention, Legislator Green.
Can we have the reason for the abstention?
I don't recall abstaining on this resolution, so...
Okay. I withdraw that abstention. Yep, so
thank
we're
you.
Short yes.
Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry that I didn't catch.
No, no worries. Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 21 to 1. The next resolution on the agenda is Resolution 130, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $49,025, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Flint Media, Inc., Department of Tourism.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're short yes.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 21 to 1. The next resolution is a bond resolution, Resolution 133, authorizing the reconstruction of building roofs for the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $5,048,900, and authorizing the issuance of $5,048,900 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Lips.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution, also a bond resolution, 135, authorizing the water service line replacement at Ulster County Community College SUNY campus in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $135,714, and authorizing the issuance of $135,714 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Lips.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts. Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution is 136, setting a public hearing on the sale and or transfer of lands owned by Ulster County located at 21 Elizabeth Street, City of Kingston, to the Ulster County Housing Development Corporation, a local development corporation.
Legislator Maloney.
I believe I'm one of the few members of this Housing Development Corporation now, just appointed to it, and I'm a no to send it there. Seems to me the planning director is kind of running this entire show, like so many of these other projects that don't end up going the way they're supposed to. Let us not all forget how we got into this mess. We bought a $700,000 demolition project from somebody I think maybe had something to do, relationships had something to do with the deal. Former legislator Phil Erner came back and told us, after looking into it, that they were over 2 years behind on their taxes and were going to be foreclosed upon if that continued. So we bailed them out, paid almost full asking. Pat Ryan did some wonderful press conferences in front of the building and then never touched it and let it dilapidate further until we get to a point where we can't even give it away for a dollar. But we don't want to look into deals like that, how we waste almost $1 million on a building that now we're going to tear down. And so we just keep coming up with ideas that we can get more press conferences out of. So now we're going to do this apartment building for that's going to be – it's going to be like condos for people that can't afford a condo. Somehow we're going to do away with them paying their school taxes again. No City of Kingston school district getting any of that tax dollars to educate the children that are going to eventually live here. And once again, we have to get developers involved that are going to take the state tax credits, which turns it into a lottery for out-of-town. It just doesn't make any sense. We haven't talked to any local contractors, local developers that put skin in the game, that don't take tax credits, that build 4, 6, 8-unit apartments, that charge $1,500 to $1,800 in rent, which is where they say this is going to be above that if we go the rental way. It's just one bad decision after another. We never look back. We never investigate. We never hold anybody accountable for these bad deals, and we just build on top of them. And that's what this is, building on top of a bad, corrupt deal.
On the resolution?
Short yes.
We're a short no. Legislator Kitchen is not in the room. And there are three yeses, Legislator Corcoran, Hansett, Litz, and Lopez.
So the resolution is adopted 17-4. The next resolution was pulled from consent. It's resolution 142. And that's establishing a policy requiring naloxone be available on county transit vehicles for emergency use.
Majority Leader, you're still... hold on one second, please. Legislator Kitchen, would you like your vote recorded for resolution 136? Thank you.
The correct vote on resolution 136 is it is adopted 17-5. Back to 142.
Majority Leader, you should tell.
Thank you. I motion to amend as presented.
Is there a second on that?
Second.
Yes. And on the amendment?
On the amendment, we're short yes.
Short yes.
The amendment is adopted 22-0.
And on the resolution as amended?
On the resolution, we're short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted as amended 22-0. The next resolution in non-consent is resolution 157, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Gardner for the purposes of a supplemental emergency medical services system, Department of Emergency Communications, Emergency Management.
Legislator Kovacs.
Motion to amend the resolution as presented.
And is there a second on that? And on the amendment?
On the amendment, we're short yes.
Short yes.
And on the resolution, oh, yes, you would like to speak on it, Mr. Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This resolution authorizes an intermunicipal agreement with the town of Gardner for the provision of emergency medical services by the county through a subcontractor. On its face, this may seem like a routine resolution, but in reality, this resolution marks a critical and intentional step in the development of a more cohesive, collaborative, and reliable EMS system in Ulster County. Earlier this year, we adopted Resolution 55, which authorized the county to obtain a municipal certificate of need from New York State. That resolution was not symbolic, it was strategic. It gave us the legal authority to provide EMS coverage, including advanced life support services, across municipal boundaries. It was a necessary foundation if we were going to be serious about addressing gaps in EMS coverage and enhancing readiness countywide. Tonight's resolution builds on that foundation. The town of Gardner has recognized the importance of regional coordination in EMS and has agreed to contribute $55,000 towards the cost of emergency medical services. That means the town of Gardner is taking steps to ensure its residents have access to timely and professional emergency medical care, even in moments when local resources are stretched thin or unavailable. This is a true partnership that reflects mutual responsibility and shared goals. And more importantly, it's a model. At the same time, we have before us Resolution 102, which is still in committee. That proposal would commit Ulster County to annually fund local EMS systems up to $4.5 million per year, based on a clear and equitable formula that weighs population, assess property values, and call volume. This is the type of structural support that municipalities across Ulster County have been calling for, support that would allow them to plan long-term, build capacity, and improve service delivery without being penalized for doing the right thing. Resolution 102 has not been approved yet, but the ideas behind it are reflected in what we're voting on tonight. We must recognize and commend towns such as Gardner that are making serious financial investments in EMS. These are local governments that are prioritizing public safety, even amid tight budgets. When a town steps forward with that sort of commitment, the county should be ready and willing to match it with real services, not just policies, not just planning, but ambulances, response capacity, and funding. This is only the beginning. We have much more work to do, more towns to support, more pieces to build, if we want a truly countywide system that ensures every resident, no matter their zip code, has timely access to life-saving emergency care. But tonight, we start with the town of Gardner. We acknowledge their leadership, particularly their town supervisor, the legislator from Gardner, our colleague, Legislator Clinton, and the members of the Law Enforcement Committee.
led by Legislator Hansett. We activate the tools that we gave ourselves through Resolution 55, and we signal to every municipality in this county that our county government is committed to being a true partner in EMS, not just in words, but in action. Let's keep moving forward together toward a stronger, more reliable, and more unified EMS system for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
Yes, it's perhaps just a little bit off the topic of this resolution, but it was addressed in the comments of my colleague, that the apportionment of funding for emergency services is in current form for us to look at over the next month, with reference to population and assessed value, income. All of these are parameters that favor very urban settings. And so I just like to remind my colleagues as we're looking at this that it would be really important, if we're talking about having services across the county, that we look at apportioning monies to those ambulance services or districts or towns, municipalities that have the greatest need, which may not be the same as those that have the greatest number of people to serve. So as we're thinking in that bigger framework, I'd like to have the rural communities who sometimes have much more difficulty with funding their services really at the front of our minds. So thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney.
I'm a yes on this, but I do think it's long overdue that the county has a countywide run EMS service that provides to the most rural areas where there is no profit. We rely on for-profit EMS coverage, and there's just no profit in these places that don't get a lot of calls that are very rural. We should take care of those areas. There's a cost to it. We have the money. We're going to eventually have to do it. And then from there, start doing things like this. I'm fine doing this now, but really what we should do is take care of those real blackout areas that get, it's an hour, hour and a half. Sometimes they don't even get an ambulance. People have, I'm sure, died because of the slow, and it's been going on for years. And like I said, a long time ago, but certainly now into the future, we need to have our own ambulance service and start with those areas and then build from there.
On the resolution.
Short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted with the agreement as amended 22-0. The next resolution is 159, amending capital project number 607, Government Operations Center, amending the 2025 operating budget, amending the 2025 capital fund budget, Department of Public Works.
Legislator Maloney.
Obviously, I'm for a new building. The one we have is greatly outdated. Not sure we couldn't have rehabbed it. But another corrupt deal. A deal that's going to cost us tens of millions of dollars more than if we did it on Golden Hill and take years longer. I believe we were told that would already be done when we were voting on this a couple of years ago, and we've not even barely broken ground. So it's certainly taking a lot longer, but we never take that look back. Let us not forget where we began paying $4 million, over, trying to pay over $4 million for a piece of property that the owner had just paid less than half of that before finding out the water was no good. It was a certified brownfield that he couldn't get any approvals to build on. So then he turns around and works out a deal with us. We go and hire an appraiser that appraised the property as if it was pristine. I saw that on the cover page. Couldn't get any answers why our county had an appraiser come in and appraise a brownfield as if it was pristine. Then we brought in a consulting firm, two consultants, one consultant that actually worked for the person that owned the property that we ended up buying, and they did an evaluation of 10 properties. This property that we're building on came in number one according to the scoring matrix. It got an average score environmentally. Had it got a zero, it would have scored 1 point behind Golden Hill, which was where we should be doing this. We'd be done. We'd be done a lot quicker. We'd be done a lot cheaper. And on top of it, in the middle of the negotiations, if you want to know possibly why this all happened, the executive at the town was in the middle of a congressional race and received thousands and thousands of dollars in donations from the owner of the property. When I brought that up in a Democratic caucus meeting several years ago, I was interrupted by none other than Mark Ryder, who was the deputy executive at the time, and said I was lying. I then texted Mark, which I have right here, pictures of the thousands of dollars in donations, and Mark responded, never saw this. I only knew that he hadn't really donated to his county executive campaign. This is another corrupt deal that we refuse to look back on, so we will continue to waste millions and millions of dollars every year on projects we need that can be done quicker and cheaper and better without the relationships and the bullshit.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, the reason that we would know about donations is because we have a system in which those are made available as an effort of transparency. And it's an error in logic to say that because one thing happened, it causes another thing. It can be true. There can be necessary or sufficient or conditional causality. There's a lot of different ways to go. But it's just an error of logic to say that this thing happened and this thing happened, and therefore they are causally related. So it's my focus on this choice of site was always in the redundancy of the infrastructure that's available at this site and not at Golden Hill, as well as the fact that it could be difficult to get to Golden Hill during weather emergencies. So there's a lot of other reasons for people to want to do things other than some relations that you can identify. My way of looking at this is which building will serve the members of the community, which location for building. And I think that's what the legislature went on. So there were lots of people that made this decision, made this choice. And it's true that one of my colleagues has been a vocal opponent of it from the beginning. But that fact alone does not make him right.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Maloney.
And one abstention.
Yes, I stand corrected. One abstention, Legislator Litz, for the purpose of... There you go.
The resolution is adopted 20-1 with one abstention, Legislator Litz. Resolution 168. Amending the 2025 Ulster County Operating Budget, establishing Capital Project Number 729, amending the 2025 to 2030 Capital Improvement Program, Axon Tasers, amending the 2025 Capital Fund Budget, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution.
We're a short yes with two no's, Legislators Hewitt and McCullough.
We're a short yes on the tasers.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 187, adopting proposed local law number 1 of 2025, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster in relation to legislator qualifications.
Legislator Maloney.
You know, the just a couple of months ago, the sponsor of this resolution tried to raise our salaries from $16,000 to $38,000 without giving the unions a dime. And all I heard about was how hard we work, how busy we are, how many hours we put in. If that's the case, then why change the administrative code and allow us to take even more elected positions? If we're just focused on being a legislator, I think that's what we should be doing. Maybe we won't have to postpone and send things back to committee. Maybe we'll have them done and put the work in if we're really putting in that amount of hours. So this is something I know things were taken out, but if we're working as hard as I'm hearing we're working and putting in as many hours as we are putting in and should be putting in, then let's let somebody else from the community, the 200,000 people that live here in Ulster County, our constituents, run these boards. I'm a no.
On the resolution.
We're a short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
Short no.
The resolution is adopted 12-10. Resolution 189, authorizing the county executive and the chair of the legislature to execute Ulster County's Memorandum of Agreement between Ulster County, New York, and the Chernivtsi region, Ukraine, as sister communities.
Legislator Maloney?
Yes. You know, I had spoken pretty aggressively against this. And, you know, I've heard there's been months that the county attorney's office spent on this contract, you know, with water quality issues and the homelessness crisis, ambulance waits, underpaid unions that are still not addressed, capital project years behind and millions over budget, we enter the sisterhood of the traveling Ukrainian pants. And I have a friendly amendment if the sponsor would agree. There is a Russian city named Abakan. It has a similar population, and I would like to amend this resolution to add a declaration of war from Ulster County against the Russian city of Abakan, and with our sheriff's department, both the civil, the road patrol, the jail, our armories, I think we can take them. And wouldn't Zelensky be so appreciative of that, not just this sisterhood of traveling Ukrainian pants, but entering the fight and taking on Abakan and Russia? Chair, friendly amendment?
No.
Okay. But in all seriousness, can we get serious about the county?
On the resolution. I'm sorry, Legislator Lopez.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of the large Ukrainian population of my district, I want to thank you for bringing this to the forefront. And not only am I in support of this resolution, but Madam Clerk, I'd appreciate if you could add my name as a co-sponsor.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan, followed by Legislator Hewitt.
Yes, I think this is a time when it's really good to do something nice, and this is really, really nice. I have a friend, a colleague, work colleague, whose brother left the United States and went to Ukraine to fight there and died in defense of Ukraine. And I'm going to be very happy to send this resolution to her if we pass it tonight. And I'd like to have my name added as a sponsor.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention my nonprofit restaurant is creating a line of peace pockets from Chinese dumplings to Colombian empanadas. And
Whoa. Do you get paid out of this place?
Excuse me. I'm talking about resolution.
Legislator Maloney, I give you great leeway. Allow Legislator Hewitt.
Or you cannot just speak out.
Allow Legislator Hewitt to finish his thoughts and connect the dots to this resolution.
Thank you. We're also introducing Ukrainian pierogies because, as Legislator Maloney pointed out, all he can think about is war and attacking Russia when we're hoping to focus on food and culture and relationships and building peace around the world and highlighting countries that we can work well with.
On the resolution.
Short yes. I'm a little dismayed looking at it, but we're a short yes, too.
The resolution is adopted 22-0.
I was obviously a no.
I'm going to amend that to a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. The next resolution is a bond resolution authorizing $11,990,332 bonds to pay a portion of the cost of the construction of a government operations center in and for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $11,990,332 and authorizing the issuance of $11,990,332 bonds of said county to pay the portion thereof. Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Pass.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
But
abstain due to employment.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
No.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
That'll be a no on the bond.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
Walls.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 19-2 with one abstention, Legislator Litz. Next, we move to the late resolutions. Resolution 197, approving the execution of a contract for $9,355,000 entered into by the County Enron Construction Corp., Department of Public Works.
On the resolution, Legislator Maloney.
We're about to approve $22 million in late resolutions for a project that was supposed to be done years ago. Somehow we allow this to be a late resolution, less time to vet, less time to discuss. $22 million in spending in late resolutions on a corrupt project that's already years overdue and millions over budget. That's Ulster County in a nutshell, as all our unions sit over there underpaid with $100 million sitting in the bank of surplus. I'm a no.
Legislator Collins, followed by Majority Leader Uchitel.
The presentation on this showed that the budget that came in, the bid that came in, are almost exactly the estimated budget. So I think it was phenomenal that that budget came out and the bid came out exactly that.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
I was going to make that point, but I'll also make a second thing, which is a motion to block these four resolutions into a single block so that we can just do this once.
I'll second.
Yep.
I have a motion and a second. And all in favor?
I believe we're short yes on the block.
Yes?
On the act of blocking
on
them.
On the act of blocking?
There'd be a short yes, too.
And one abstention.
One abstention.
So the resolutions are blocked. The vote would be on 197, 198, 199, and 200.
And on the block. On the resolutions as blocked.
Yeah, on the blocked resolutions, we are a short yes.
Is this the final vote?
Yes.
We're short yes, one abstention, Litz, and one no, Legislator Maloney.
Resolutions 197, 198, 199, and 200 are adopted 20-1 with one abstention, Legislator Litz.
Okay, we're now going to move on to public comment on matters not currently before the legislature. Again, I want to remind everybody that you have 2 minutes to speak. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone please keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up to speak?
We do. 10 speakers signed up. The first speaker signed up is Meg Carey.
Meg Carey, Town of Hurley. It's a very disheartening to witness the conflict between rail and trail becoming a crisis again. Many of us remember the awful situation that erupted 12 years ago. In 2015, the legislature organized the first UND Rail and Trail Advisory Committee, and this committee unanimously recommended support for the building of the Ashokan Rail Trail and for the Catskill Mountain Railroad to have a reliable route. Sadly, 1.6 miles of remaining track now is in dispute. The Catskill Mountain Railroad has proposed to revitalize these tracks in order to reach an appropriate destination with a state-of-the-art terminal. This terminal would also serve as a welcome center for both trail and rail users and for the community. Supporting CMRR to reach a proper destination with a terminal does not prevent trail connectivity. In the last UND corridor meeting, the only person with engineering knowledge and years of experience, clearly stated that a trail can indeed be built in this area of the corridor without excluding the railroad. My observation of these committee meetings is that negativity and roadblocks dominate each meeting. I hope this legislature recognizes that the railroad is unique in Ulster County and that both rail and trail can thrive with your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Joanne Mead.
Good evening. My name is Joanne Mead, and I live in Ulster Park. I'm here regarding Dinah Noble, the Superfund site in Ulster Park. I filed a FOIL request with the New York State Department of Health in July 2024. Last week, I finally received a response, which was denied. The denial is based on the following reasons. The records responsive to your request have been redacted and withheld pursuant to New York State Public Officers Law 87-2B because the disclosure would constitute an unwarranted invasion of personal privacy, and 87-2G as interagency or intraagency materials. Is this the reason why we've been having an information blackout regarding this site? I understand we are balancing the competing interests of public access and an individual's rights to privacy. But if people are becoming ill because of exposure of this site, the public has a right to know what's going on. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Cheryl Snyder.
Good evening. I'm going to address the resolution that almost was. 165 to appeal the HALT Act, because just changing the title did not change the guts of the resolution, which was to basically appeal and get rid of protections, human rights protections. So I have a theory, because I didn't count enough votes from the Democrats to kill this bill. I know that's the story. But there was at least one person who was definitely going to vote for it on the Democratic side, and one person who wasn't quite sure if they were going to vote for it on the Democratic side, and only five people who said for sure they were against it. I think we have a white supremacy problem here. I think we have a human rights problem here. I think that, do you know that our county has more New York State prisons and any other county in the entire state? Big business for us. In my work of doing parole reform, I've learned that it costs us $250,000 a year per elder to be kept in prison. That's big business. We have a few thousand inmates down county. I've watched the session. Three times I watched the discussion. I heard a legislator say, I talked to a constituent and those solitary cells aren't so bad. You only talk to law enforcement, corrections officers. Nobody talked to anyone who's ever been in solitary. Nobody who's talked to anyone who's ever been to jail or has been inside those prisons. It would have been horrific if this bill would have hit the floor and you would have passed it. I think I understand that there's supposed to be some training that's being put together. I'd like to make sure that the school-to-prison pipeline is explicitly talked about in those trainings, because what I saw in that committee meeting was you guys were just all behind locking people up and then beating them up
Thank
for the rest
you.
Of their lives.
Thank you so much for your comments. I appreciate it.
I think we have a lot of work to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Helen Chase.
My name is Helen Chase. I live in the hamlet of Ashokan.
I'm the president of the Historical Society of the Town of Olive. I am co-chair of the Catskill Mountain Scenic Byway. You've heard from me before. I am a friend of the Catskill Mountain Railroad. It was the business people in the mid-1800s in the town of Olive who initiated discussion with and invited and urged the Ulster and Delaware Railroad to come to town, so to speak, to build out to Olive and then beyond to serve the needs of the various hamlets between Kingston and ultimately to Bloomville. The building of the railroad had a very positive impact on the common good of the area. The preservation of the railroad has had a particular historical meaning to the history of the town of Olive. That impact continues to exert itself. It is very exciting to hear the numbers of riders who are being drawn to what currently exists, with the hope to have the route extended to its limit in West Hurley to Basin Road so that those riders can have a much fuller experience. The history is alive. The CMRR wants to be a much more active participant in the economic health and well-being of this part of the corridor that contains all that is left of the original rail bed and track system. The advisory committee needs to listen in good faith and not be obstructive. CMRR plans are viable and possible. Their energy and enthusiasm is awaiting the permission and agreement to proceed to Basin Road. It's important to work together on rail with trail. We have only one railroad. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Peter Fuchair.
Good evening, everybody. Peter Fuchair, Catskill Mountain Railroad treasurer, resident of Marlboro for 30 years on Old Indian Road. What a beautiful place to be. I'm the treasurer. I am a active member of the veterans groups in Marlboro, and I am a local artist, as we've heard about art and culture in Ulster County. I feel proud to be working as hard as we all are to make Kingston a better place to live, to work, and enjoy. As far as culture goes, last week we started our new season with the Easter Bunny train, and people came out in the snow and the rain. We had a great time. We'll have the train on this Saturday before Easter, and then we start our summer season. We're looking to use the track that's already in place to reach Basin Road. It's there. It needs to be fixed. It's old. The last time anybody worked on it was the New York Central in 1932, but it is viable to put back into use and to make it to Basin Road so that we can build the beautiful station that we've drawn and designed to serve both the rail and the trail community. A friendly reminder, we brought 60,000 people to pay for a train ride last year. We made almost $3 million, and as treasurer, I spent most of it. It was my privilege to spend it locally to mom and pop businesses, everything from Joe B's all the way up to Herzog's. The money stays locally. We spent $560,000 in payroll for our members and for the kids in the Kingston drama clubs to participate in the Polar Express culture again.
Thank you so much for your comments, sir. Appreciate it.
Oh, did I win already?
You won.
Okay, thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is Scott Paltrowitz.
to thank everyone for rejecting resolution number 165. I want to thank you over the last week for listening to community members, especially those who've been incarcerated and other experts on the topic. The halt solitary confinement law needs to be fully implemented, not weakened, in order to save lives, in order to reduce violence, and in order to reduce suffering. Human beings are social creatures. We literally need regular, genuine human interaction in order to survive. Decades of research have shown that people in solitary confinement literally have to turn off the social part of themselves in order to live. Solitary leads people to develop psychosis. It leads to hallucinations. It leads to paranoia. It leads to self-harm, and it leads to death. It also is the greatest creator of violence. As people deteriorate, it makes it more likely that they will engage in violent acts, not less. And yet there are proven solutions for actually reducing violence. And those are the types of solutions that we need, and we all need to work together toward. In San Francisco jail, there was a program called the RSVP program. It involved people who had engaged in violent assaults, sexual assaults, other violent acts. When they participated in the program, violence dropped to literally zero over the course of a year. If we want to reduce violence inside of facilities and out here in our communities, let's follow the evidence, let's follow the facts, and let's do what is right. We're at a challenging time in our country, and we need real solutions that will keep people safe, that will keep people healthy, that will keep people thriving, but they have to start with the recognition that every person is a human being deserving of care, kindness, compassion, and love. I look forward to working together with all of you to forge ahead with those types of solutions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Russ Bonk.
I'll say good evening, but if we stay here much longer, it'll be good morning. First and foremost, my heart goes out to the folks down there in Wawarsing. It's a terrible situation they're going through. So I went metal detecting today, and look what I found. A railroad car, an engine, a 260 Mogul. That is good luck. That is good karma for tonight. My father was a big New York Central fan. He passed away 4 weeks ago today. I found this on his property. This is double good luck. We all know what's going on with the Catskill Mountain Railroad and the trail groups and the 1.6 miles that we are trying to get extended to Basin Road. However, the folks out there in constituency land need to know also. And I feel this episode, this fight, this battle that's been going on for a decade, over a decade now, needs to get more out into the public. It's their money that will be spent if the rails get ripped up. It's their money that won't get spent if Catskill Mountain Railroad is allowed to do the work and pay for it themselves. So please, please, let your constituencies know, and please let common sense prevail. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shelley Boulding.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Shelley Boulding. I've been an employee at Ulster County Department of Social Services for 20 years. I spent my first 5 years in Child Protective Services, and I've spent the last 15 in Adult Protective Services. It took me a long time to figure out that we are the boots on the ground for your constituents. We try to help everyone. The jobs, in my observation, are more difficult than ever. The food stamp workers who 15 years ago had a caseload of 500 now have a caseload of 2,000. The temporary assistance workers are faced with trying to house record numbers of homeless people with fewer resources than ever. The jobs are difficult. Taking a child into protective custody is incredibly difficult. Trying to protect a senior who's being financially exploited by a stranger or their own family members is equally difficult. People don't always like what we do. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you that there's been an increasing trend of people going after elected officials and others whom they don't agree with. I want you to know what happens to us as well. There have been times that I came home from working in the field to find a threatening phone message on my unlisted home number. I have been threatened. My family members have been threatened. I have a coworker who was greeted at the door with a shotgun, and another whose career ended early from a dog bite. We're all aware, we've heard a lot tonight about the increasing difficulties that we're all facing. I just want you to know there's going to come a time soon when you get to vote on our proposed contracts. I want you to know we just want a fair shake. I could earn $10,000 more going to a different county, but I figured if I'm going to make a difference, I want to make a difference here, the county in which I live. And I hope that when the time comes for you to vote, that you will take this into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next speaker is Chris Allen.
Good evening. My name is Chris Allen. I used to represent District 2, Saugerties, Malden, West Camp. Last month in March, I was in attendance at a Saugerties Town Board meeting during which a resolution unanimously passed across bipartisan lines that established an income and age-based property tax break program through which Saugerties Town property owners who are 65 years or older and whose income is under $59,000 can receive property tax breaks for residential, non-business use, non-rental properties. The program gives a 90% reduction in town taxes on such residential properties when gross taxable income is under $51,000 and a 5% town property tax reduction for residential property owners whose gross income is between $51,000 to $59,000. The town government commented during its passage that ideally the county and state government taxing entities would follow on their corresponding tax on residential properties. Moving forward in the near future, we in the legislature should encourage an economic impact study to be conducted by the Finance Department and the Comptroller's Office to investigate the feasibility of a similar styled residential property tax break program in Ulster County. Many Ulster County residential property owners in the over 65 demographic could benefit greatly from such tax breaks, and these programs may make the financial difference in their lives that enables them to stay in Ulster County during their retirement years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Larry Roth.
Good news, I am the last speaker. Okay, I'm Larry Roth. I'm a co-chair of the Ulster and Delaware Railway Revitalization Corporation. And our mission is to promote and preserve the rail heritage of the Catskills. The clearest sign of the value of the Catskill Mountain Railroad and allowing it to reach Basin Road is shown by the people who have been working hardest to put it out of business. Even they have been forced to take the public position that nobody wants to see the trains gone. Let's talk about money. Catskill Mountain Railroad pays the county for the right to use the rail corridor. CMRR maintains the tracks at its own expense. CMRR is an employer directly creating jobs. CMRR is prepared to restore the tracks up to Basin Road at no cost to the county. Catskill Mountain Railroad is prepared to build a combined rail station and trail visitor center at Basin Road at no cost to the county. They have leased land with the appropriate zoning. CMRR is a railroad has applied for a state grant to fully fund construction of an access road, trail, and the corridor also at no cost to the county. Catskill Mountain Railroad is prepared to use the railroad to cut hundreds of thousands of dollars from the cost of building a trail in the corridor. Preventing CMRR from reaching its full potential or even driving it out of the corridor altogether will have a significant impact on the local economy. Let's talk about tourism. It's considered a key element in the Ulster County's economic strategy. The expense of trail construction and maintenance is considered counterweighted by the supposed economic benefits from tourism. But is that actually the case? A study by the Camelin Group in 2023 found that there are roughly 9 out of 10 trail users who are local residents. But as for tourism, you're not seeing the benefits that were promised. In contrast, Catskill Mountain Railroad, 90% of their riders are from out of county, and they're bringing in money. Even though there are fewer of them, they outperform the Ashokan Rail Trail users. So this is why the expansion to Basin Road is critical for both Catskill Mountain Railroad and the Ashokan Rail Trail. Linking them together would have a multiplier effect.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to wrap up your comments, please.
I am about to, sir. Thank you. It would bring more out-of-county visitors to the Ashokan Rail Trailhead. It would give trail users access to amenities the combined station and trail visitor center would provide, such as better parking, bathrooms, and access to drinking water. It would make it easier for Kingston residents to enjoy the trail, and it would allow trail users easy access to Kingston by using the railroad. One more thing. Catskill Mountain Railroad is proposing daily shuttles back and forth between Basin Road with intermediate stops. This would be like having a dedicated bus route for the communities on the corridor, connecting them to Kingston and the transportation aspects there. This is a win-win situation, and the people fighting this really need to put up a convincing explanation why they think that would be a better idea. We need both trail and rail. Let's do this.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues? Please state your name for the record. Thank you.
I'm Anthony Fitzpatrick. I live in the town of Esopus. I just wanted to tell you guys how much I appreciate you entering the county into this sister region relationship with Chernivtsi region of Ukraine. The city of Kingston has a sister city relationship with a small municipality in Ukraine, Sobrani. And it is making that relationship that's your job, but it's now on us, the people of the county, to make this meaningful, to organize, to get things together and do things for the people who are suffering that we can reach and who are now our sisters. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just a couple more things. So my name's Rachel Gams. Somebody over there was speaking about, you know, doing some tax relief for people over 65 on limited budget. You know, with all of the multi-million dollar homes that my friends and people I know are building across the county, this county can afford to do that, so that's a really good idea. I did want to speak about 165 on Halt. Somebody over there, Scott, I think, spoke really clearly about this. I know this is coming back, right? I know it was postponed. I know this is coming back. No? Okay, it's good. It's done. Okay, great. Because it's really important that we do not support. I know many counties around us are supporting the repeal of the HALT Act, and it is a very dangerous thing, and it, you know, obviously is not protecting people, and it is not going to bring about a less violent and a safer community. Now, I see a lot of things, and I'm really disappointed that the acts on tasers passed. I didn't see that before. I know we talked about that probably a year ago, but there's a lot of money going into the sheriff's department and into militarization of our community, instead of putting money into social services, you know, supporting the people that are suffering at the hands of the gentrification that is rampant in our area. And I understand that there's a good relationship with the sheriff that's in office right now, and that's great. When that changes, right, because, you know, people change in offices, and people are going to come in, and they're going to have so much at their disposal to treat the people of this county, and you know, and it's always done in a racist way, to treat the people as criminals. So, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues that were not before the legislature? Yes, sir.
Hi, everyone. Thank you again. Well, we only get 2 minutes, so I don't get to tell you guys about myself that much, so let me just take a minute to do that. I represent multiple organizations. I serve as treasurer for the Traditional Center of Land, or Traditional Indigenous Land Council. I serve as project manager for Indigenous Food Forest. We're actually just started our project. We moved to Bank Road, Derry Road. If anybody's familiar with that, it's right down the road from this proposed landfill. Just wanted to share with you guys what you guys voted against. Just had a family started in October. I'm a father of five. I just have a little boy in October. We moved to the town thinking we'd start new somewhere. Indigenous people have been shut off from these lands for generations, and it's been amazing reconnecting with sites and meeting new people. Some friends of mine, like Mr. Hall over here, are a lot of farmers in the community. There's many producers that are doing everything they can to grow high-quality, nutrient-dense food and safely provide that for our community. I started volunteering at food markets every weekend so I can meet other producers in the community and try to share our knowledge and grow our community support system. My large goal is to actually increase access to the land for everybody. I have 24 acres. I started growing our indigenous foods there so I can give access to people to our traditional diets. We're rebuilding our support systems. We're not latching onto trauma anymore. We're doing the work. We're here. We've been trying to work for years with organizations to rebuild our economy, to try to rebuild our environment here to what it used to be once was great. We had food here for many, many civilizations that lived, and it was great. Voting no, would have just opened up so much doors for me this year. I was so excited this year to grow, to plant, to harvest. Now I'm looking at selling and moving again, along with all my other friends and neighbors over there. Thank you for your guys' time. It's been nice meeting all of you.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak? Yes.
So, from what I understand, yeah, this body is not standing up to shifting away from this site. That's what I understand, right? So we haven't, I thought that there was a vote actually to say, let's find another location, right? So, yeah,
we? If you could just make your comments,
just to
I'd
clarify,
appreciate it.
Well, okay. So,
this is not a Q&A, this is just comment time.
All right.
Thanks.
So, at the very least, the cheese grater of partisanship, I really hope all of us can grow some cultural immunity towards, and coming from New Mexico and being with other, having family members where we really understand that life depends on water, I really hope that we all work together across any of these outward differences or even alignments, partisanship, whatever, to steward and care for this our environment and each other. I would like to know that this specter is relieved of a landfill, is relieved that we explore more modern approaches and collaborate with our educational institutions, and that we empower the next generations to be active agents of that with SUNY New Paltz, with the high schools, make it collaborative and engage our younger generations. And any of the legislators here that are interested in empowering those younger generations, I really hope, please get in touch with me or Kenneth. There's important programs that our region needs that are volunteer-focused, but 11 to 15 in young adults, we all need to work together for this future region to flourish and for us to have a better understanding of each other and more respect and dignity.
Thank you very much for your comments. Is there anybody else who would like to comment? Yes, please.
Hey again, Lauren Salve from Worsing. First, I want to voice my support for my friend over here who works for DSS in Ulster County. I work for Sullivan County. I also work in the field. I hope you all appreciate how dangerous it can be when APS and CPS workers go out into the field to do their job. It is just by the nature of the work, it can be very contentious. And with as many people that are armed out here, I really hope you appreciate what they do and you give them everything they ask for in that contract. And I hope you ask for hazard pay because you deserve it. So in the discussion around Resolution 33, I did hear some of you say that you would support a resolution that was just blanket Ulster County, don't put a landfill here, which is great. I love that. So my question to you all is, which one of you plans on writing that resolution? Because I am looking forward to discussing that one next. Any takers?
This is not a Q&A. This is time for you to comment.
And that was a rhetorical question. All right. Good night, everyone.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak before the legislature this evening?
I would like to request 3 minutes, if that's possible.
2 minutes.
I again thank the sponsors of Resolution Number 165 for withdrawing the bill, and I hope it never returns to the floor. I want to call your attention to the insidiousness of concentration and extermination camps within the U.S. and abroad, paid for by U.S. tax dollars. I would hope that the county could pass a memorializing resolution on that. There are legislators here who freely call undocumented neighbors illegal aliens, a xenophobic term that further dehumanizes a vulnerable population. The prison industrial complex enriches billionaires and corporations that profit off of filled beds. Imprisonment institutions also house individuals detained by ICE that are being deported without due process and now against federal court rulings. Right now, legal residents and citizens are in danger of being kidnapped and disappeared for expressing political dissent, a clear violation of the First Amendment right. I say this to remind you of how your biases and language directly condone and comply with fascist policies that will impact and kill too many more innocent people. This administration is coming for all of us. Can we use the same amount of funds allocated for high-tech toys to further militarize the local PD on housing and mental health care? What plans and solutions are in place to support and help people with substance use disorders recover and reduce recidivism? I am also in strong support of countywide waste reduction through the use of composting, recycling, and banning of non-recyclable plastics. It is not environmentally wise to transport tons of trash hundreds of miles away, as that increases our carbon footprint, increasing extreme weather events, and will soon not even be an option. The more we all collaborate to plan ahead and decrease all our waste, the less pressure on the future zero waste facility I know can be developed. I'm just going to finish my comments like the other gentleman. Really quickly. And can the Ulster County
Mrs.
Legislature
Sala,
please declare a Gaza-Palestine as a sister community?
Thank you.
I'm
right
here. I urge Ulster County to adopt a humanitarian procurement policy that would prohibit contracts with any company that engages in human rights abuses like using enslaved labor and testing / killing innocent people and the earth. Thank you and good night.
Thank you very much. Anybody else would like to speak before the legislature this evening? Yes.
My name is Harrison Baldiff. Recently started renting in Kingston, hailing from Long Island. Forgive me, I'm beating this point like a spike. It's just such a shovel-ready project. It's in my nature as a track worker. I just want to ask that the legislature consider that, unlike what was said at the last meeting I was at back in March, we were called amateurs. I'd like to just be acknowledged as professionals. That's all with that. I know that we're usually very bad at being terse. Sometimes we're just gushing with historical knowledge to share and the bits and pieces that we didn't get to say at other meetings. Maybe you do need a Q&A session at some point so the public could talk about what you're doing with your railroad corridor, the trail that ought to be built alongside a railroad track. I haven't heard any anti-railroad speakers at these events. Somebody saying we need to rip the track out because only the trail could be there. I would sure love to hear from them so that we could negotiate with them so that we could actually build this trail to a high quality standard, but next to the track. So often in this country, we've just been deindustrializing by ripping out extant railroads and attempts at them. It'd be really cool if Ulster County could be the first to try and do both and demonstrate by example that we really should be on the same team about this. I myself use a bicycle at my parents' home that I'm about to finish being at to finish that last mile problem, being able to get to work without having to drive everywhere. I would like the railroad to be able to be part of that so that we can ultimately reduce emissions and not have to fill all the roads up with cars. Thank you. Let me leave you with a few seconds left.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak before the legislature? Yes, sir.
Chad McPeak, county employee. I just wanted to, and I'm not trying to undermine or undercut anything that's been said or done by the county on behalf of the employees that make up the county workforce. I've noticed it's been a trend to want to hear numbers, and on some instances, so I just wanted to give you a quick summary of maybe the course of the last 4 years, 5 years. So there was a raise of $574 given to some of the public workers, so I just want to give you a quick number how it breaks down. For every day, it's $229.60. On 52 weeks, it's $11,939.20. There was a period of time where it was non-retro for the first 16 months of the contract when it was ratified. And there was $14,924 not given to the employee. That's on the highway side. So the buildings and ground side, which is 7 hours work week, it's $200.90 a week. 52 weeks, it's $10,446.80. Non-retro for the first 16 months of the contract, it's $13,058.50. For the five-year period of time, if you looked at it from when it would start to when it would end, it's $52,234 for the buildings and ground side of it, 7 hour work week, $59,696 for the highway side of it. Now, I speak on highway and public buildings and grounds mainly because that's the department in which I work under. But it's to say, and it's been said, that every branch, every employee within the county deserves significantly more money. See Through New York is a beautiful website you can go on to, Google anybody's name, and you can see what they make, the people that make up the workforce, the people that embody the union. Are significantly underpaid, and there's a lot of money spent in various facets where it could be reallocated. And I'll close with this. And maybe I'm wrong, but let's hypothetically say it costs $10 million to give everyone a fair amount of money. Of that $10 million, you're getting tax money brought back to the state and to the county. It's going to have those people go out to the stores to buy more stuff to keep mom and pop stores open. So let's say at the end of the day, it costs $5 million for the county to give a workable living wage to the people that make it up. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to address the legislature this evening? Seeing none, I'm going to move us on. I call on Deputy Majority Leader Levine to read the names of community members who have recently passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's my solemn duty to adjourn tonight's meeting in memory of former Ulster County Legislator Robert Aiello of Saugerties, Felice Phil Lamella of Marlboro, Darlene A. Scanna of Milton, William R. Cresser of Kingston, John Repke of Marlboro, Marshall Kelton Bird Jr. of Kingston, Louise Lefkowitz of Kingston, Frederick Wind of Saugerties, and Alan Shapiro, father of former legislator Brian Shapiro of Woodstock. May their memory be a blessing to all that knew them. Thank you.
Legislator Green.
I just would like to put in a good word for Phil Lamella. When we were starting recycling 30 years ago, Lamella was one of the most responsive and helpful haulers in making that transition, and I think he deserves that recognition. Thank you.
Thank you. Majority Leader, you should tell.
I'd like to add the name of Sue Brugg, who transitioned earlier today, surrounded by family, from Miami, Florida.
Thank you. I'd like to now call on Legislator McCullough to offer some closing words.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings, colleagues, staff, constituents. Stand for humanity on the battlefield. We as legislators are on the front line. And being that we are on the front line, we are the first line of defense for our people. When we fight for people, when we fight for people, we should be fighting in alignment of what our people need. We should not be afraid to push the envelope as far as we need to in order to get our people in position to not just survive, but thrive. As they thrive, we thrive, Ulster County thrives. Every day is a battle for most. They're battling homelessness and affordable housing. They're battling food insecurity and livable wages. They're battling affordable childcare and health care. They're battling drug use and mental health. They're battling transportation and traffic safety, just to name a few. All of these battles are winnable, but they cannot and will not be won by chance. It's going to require change. But guess what? We have the power to create change. So let's do it. Constituents, community members, I urge you to continue to come, keep showing your faces, and most importantly, continue to speak up and speak out. We see you and we hear you. Colleagues, I'm going to urge you to continue to fight for what's right. And while we do so, I ask that we remember to stand for humanity on the battlefield.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll just give him a call. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, May 20th, 2025 at 6:45 p.m. in the Legislative Chamber, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Please note the earlier start time, 6:45, as adopted by resolution this evening. A public hearing on the proposed SUNY Ulster budget will be held at that meeting. In keeping with past practice, a presentation by SUNY Ulster will precede the public hearing. Resolution deadline is Wednesday, April 23rd, 2025. I ask for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
And is there a second?